just got to say, I thoroughly enjoyed the combined worship this morning. I thought that was wonderful. Thank you for those who led us. And I hope that we do that more often. That was great to be able to sing. I think one reason I love it so much is you look at Revelation 5, Revelation 7, and you can see that there's going to be a people of every tribe, language, tongue, and people group around the throne in heaven. They're going to be all worshiping the Lamb, all worshiping Jesus together in their native tongue. And I just think that's a representation, a small little fractional representation of what that's going to look like when those are singing both in English and in Mandarin. So that was really encouraging today. Thank you for that. We're going to be continuing, as the screen says, through Amos today. We have three messages remaining. We're going to be wrapping up at the end of next month. I just thoroughly enjoyed studying this book, preaching through this book, and really hope it's been a blessing for you. Had a chance to read through it yourself and maybe learn a little bit about the Old Testament and about what God can still teach us today through this book. So Zechariah will be back preaching a couple sermons in this text the next couple months. Excuse me, I'll be back on March 9th, I believe it is, to preach a sermon, and then we'll move forward in our next book. So I'm in talks right now, this discussion of what that will be. But let's dive in today. We have much to get through, and I want to make sure that we stay in a timely manner through this. So let's go ahead and read our text today. It is out of the book of Amos, chapter 7. I've titled this message, In the Face of Opposition. We're going to be preaching the latter half of chapter 7, which is verses 10 through 17. So the scripture says this: Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman, and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, Do not prophesy against Israel. Do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Your wife shall be a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be divided up with a measuring line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. I'm just going to take a moment and pray over our text and ask God to bless our time today. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've made today. Thank you for the opportunity to worship in a multitude of tongues, giving you praise, giving you glory, giving you honor this morning. What a sweet time that was. And I pray that that time would only continue through the preaching and teaching of your word. And Lord, we know that every portion of your word has something profitable for us. And so, Lord, I pray that in these few verses here, we would learn today, we would be encouraged and challenged today, and that we would have our hearts stirred to follow you, to obey you, and to put our faith, hope, and trust in you. Thank you that you are a God of mercy and compassion and love. And I pray that every one of us would experience that in its fullness today, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to dive right in and start beginning to review just some brief background information, historical background information of the book of Amos, as we've been doing each time, as I recognize that there is a gap between when Zechariah and I are here. And, sometimes it's difficult to always retain everything in a particular sermon. That's okay. So as we've said, this book is taking place in the mid-700s before Christ. Christ is coming in the flesh to this earth. The kingdoms have recently split here. We have Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And you can read about that in 1 Kings 12 and following. And so Jeroboam II is reigning to the north in Israel, and King Uzziah is reigning to the south in Judah at this time. That will be important as we move along in our text today. It's a time of great post-war societal and economic flourishing, so things are starting to pick back up economically. Society, people are starting to kind of rebuild their lives and see their lives stabilize a little bit after much war and conflict that was experienced really with the splitting of the kingdoms. And so with the split, though, has come a good amount of political animosity, a good amount of people vying and vying for power and position, as well as a lot of ethnic animosity and ethnic and racial prejudice as the kingdoms have divided. And people are beginning to kind of take sides and be at one another in that way. And so it's fueled a time of spiritual complacency, a time where God is kind of being forgotten, God is being neglected, the worship of God, the practice of the Torah and the first five books of the Bible that would have been the faith and the practice of the Israelites, or should have been, ought to have been, the faith and practice of the Israelites at this time is being greatly neglected. And so how about Amos specifically? Well, what do we know about Amos? We know he was an ordinary and really a common man. He was just a regular guy, kind of like you and I. But he was a shepherd. He worked in the fields with livestock. He also trained and kind of oversaw some of the other shepherds in the area. He was from Tekoa, which is a small city 10 to 11 miles south of Jerusalem. And that was in Judah. So that's really important that you understand that Amos was born and raised in Judah, but yet called to go north and preach to Israel, as well as other surrounding nations. And so his name, Amos, means burden or load. And scholars likely believe that this was because going to the north and going to Israel, being from Judah, going to Israel to share really a message of judgment, a message of repentance, was a heavy task. It was a burdening load to bear, as sharing this message would have been a message of judgment and righteousness, and the audience would have been very unenthusiastic about it. They would not have liked Amos' message very much. And so as we see on this map, we see the two kingdoms, Judah to the south, Israel to the north, the surrounding nations that are preached on in the opening chapters of the book surround the two nations. Tekoa is right here, just west of the Dead Sea, south of Jerusalem, in Judah. Okay? And so that's significant for us. How about the structure of the book? Well, we see that we've seen the book can really be divided into about three portions. We have chapters 1 and 2 are the message to the nations, surrounding nations, as well as to Israel. More specific message of sin and judgment and a call to repentance, warnings if they don't, can be seen in chapters 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then chapters 7 and 8, we see Amos' visions as well as Amos' accusations. Amos is going to get accused in this chapter by Amaziah, and that's where we're going to be today. Okay? Chapters 1 and 2, we see more specifically that the Israelites would have been cheering on the delivery of the news of God's judgment on the neighboring nations, but they didn't realize that a little bit later in the text, God was going to use that to begin to indict them for their own sin. Chapters 3 through 5 are a three-part sermon series unpacking Israel's privileged status as the people of God, their unfaithfulness to the covenant of God, and the consequent judgment to come. And so as we move forward in into chapters 7 and 8, what's the big idea today? What's the main point I want us to take away? And it's this, and that is that faithful gospel ministry is not without opposition. If you don't remember anything else today out of chapter 7, 10 through 17, please remember this, that faithful gospel ministry is not without opposition. Okay? And so the way I want to walk through our text today is I want to give you six characteristics of gospel opposition. What are six things that we can learn from this text about opposition? Right? Opposition is being opposed, being challenged, meeting difficulty and resistance as we do a task. And so I believe that all across Scripture, we see this theme of God's servants, God's people, when they are doing the work of faithful ministry, it is often, almost always, not done without some amount of challenge, some amount of difficulty, some amount of spiritual resistance that we would also call opposition. And so what can we learn about this opposition, how to deal with opposition, how to overcome opposition, and be better servants and ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And so the first thing we see, the first characteristic of opposition, is that we need to recognize opposition often comes from counterfeit Christianity. Okay? Often, gospel opposition sometimes comes from counterfeit Christianity. And we see this in the first part of verse 10 in our text today. It says, "Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel," all right, so Amaziah is this priest in this text, okay? And he's doing his priestly duties at Bethel. Now, what's the big deal about that? Why am I stopping and underlining that? Well, let's take a moment and let's have a detour. And let's go back to 1 Kings 12. And let's read a little bit in 1 Kings 12 that show why this is important, okay? And so 1 Kings 12, 27 through 33 says this. If the people will go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this... So this is, let me stop and say, this is talking about, Jeroboam's concerned about the people returning to Jerusalem and... beginning worship in Jerusalem as instructed in the Bible and in the Torah. Okay, that's where God's worship was supposed to take place. Okay, so he's saying if these people go up there to Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn again to their Lord, to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So the king took counsel. Jeroboam took counsel and made two calves of gold. And he said to the people, "You have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And he set one in Bethel. And he set one in Dan. Then this thing became a sin for the people. For the people went as far as Dan to be before one. He also made temples on high places